Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves?
Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. Tell me what ailing me,
doctor.
He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio Network. And, of course, Herb Talk, where we like to empower you. That's what we're going to do. Hey, Frank, I sent you a clip or a link to a clip. Did you manage to get that for the show? I know you've been a busy guy today, so I'm just checking. Hopefully he did. We had a great show because we're going to be talking about the cell line in vaccines. You know, because a lot of people are speculating, ooh, the coronavirus vaccine is on the way. What could possibly be in that? I thought we'd go down that road and see. Also, we can talk about some vision issues and other things. And, of course, our quack report, which is a little brief this evening, but it's still there. So before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. Mind the time, it grows short. And today puts us in Psalms 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Hey, that's the beginning of wisdom, to fear the Lord, to have that kind of respect for the Lord. And love and respect go hand in hand. So it's not, you can trust the Lord. He's, he's kind. He has tender mercies and loving kindness. You just got to seek his face and find that. He'll show you his ways. He'll reveal his truths to you. But you got to have a relationship with God. You have to have a daily relationship with God. How many of you out there pray maybe on the weekend? How about during the week? Every day. And you can't outgive God. See, he owns everything anyway. So mind the time. That is the way. It grows short. So, and without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up is we got to talk about some crop chemicals here. They're speculating all these pesticides and herbicides are preventing the brains of baby bees from developing. So they're saying that the way we grow our food on this planet is affecting our pollinators, and we're killing off the bees, and we absolutely need the pollinators. So these pesticides, that is what they're talking about, it showed up in some research in the Imperial College of London. They were determining, you know, what's impairing the healthy development of the bees' brains during their larval phase. Well, they scanned, with a lot of scanning technology, these British scientists were able to identify some specific areas of the bumblebees' brains that grew abnormally when they were exposed to pesticides during their early years. So that could be a likely explanation of the phenomenon of colony collapse disorder with the bees because of the pesticides. They say that the bee colonies act as superorganisms. So when any toxin enters the colony, these have the potential to cause problems with the development of the baby bees within it, according to Dr. Richard Lee. He's with the Department of Life Science. He says this is a worrying case for us. When young bees are fed pesticide-contaminated foods, it causes parts of their brain to grow less, leading to older adult bees processing smaller and functionally impaired brains. Oh, my word. So they're saying these findings are revealing how the colonies of the bees are impacted with the use of pesticides on crops. And he says the work highlights a need for guidelines on pesticides, used for considering something else, because not only are bees, but our butterflies and other pollinators are being affected as well. So yeah, we got to have our pollinators or we're not going to have any crops at all. So this is, you know where this stems from, Frank? This stems from laziness in agriculture. You know, cutting corners and being lazy. And, for instance, the wheat. They don't want to, harvest wheat, put it up to dry so the kernel, you know, moisture drops so they can send it to be at the mill to be milled. So they just coat the plants a few weeks. They coat the plant. Stop it, Frank. They coat the plants 2 weeks before they harvest it with tons and tons of herbicides, and they dehydrate the plant. It starts to kill the plant, basically, and so then they don't have to store it and wait for it to dehydrate. They just send it off to the mill. And, of course, all your wheat products now you're feeding to your kids, right? Until your other family members have all this Roundup in it. So organic wheat, folks. Organic wheat. Protect yourselves. And that wraps the Quack Report. I'm sorry, Frank. I'm here. I had my button pushed in. All my fault. My fault. Dead air was Wendy's fault. Uh-oh. Wet noodle for her. I'm sorry, Frank. Oh, we're going to be talking about cell lines, and Frank has the clip, he says. He works so hard. Thank you, Frank. And we're going to be playing that shortly. I'll tell you when to play it, Frank. But first, we're going to talk about these cell lines that are happening within scientific medicine with regards to manufacturing your vaccines. And you've probably heard a lot of this before, but you know, there are numerous reports that you're hearing recently of in every election year, there's some sort of pandemic issue. Have you noticed that? Vaccines are usually part of that scenario. And the coronavirus, I don't think, is an exception. So there are rumors flying around. Now, they're rumors that the coronavirus vaccine will have a chip included, courtesy of Bill Gates Foundation. Such statements have not been confirmed. However, the media is working extra hard to promote the disease as being more deadly than, let's say, the Black Plague. So the infectious transfer rate on your coronavirus is much lower than the measles. So the death rate for this virus is lower than death by prescription medications and abortion. So this is not to say the disease isn't real, because it is. It's a man-made disease created, I believe, for evil intent. So we hear from politicians that medical science is racing to manufacture a vaccine for coronavirus. Well, there is undisputed evidence that vaccine manufacturers include a list of ingredients that have no place in any treatment. And we're going to check this out. We're going to look at this global vaccine research real quickly. There in 2018, there was this, we're going to play a clip of this guy in a little bit. It was recorded testimony by Dr. Stanley Plotkin. He reveals that the sponsorship and involvement in vaccine development is a global one, all promoted, they say, to try to defeat disease, protect you. They're trying to protect you. That's how it's promoted. So Dr. Plotkin states he was flown all over the world. He was sponsored by universities, the Bill Gates Foundation, and also the drug companies like Pasteur, Symphony Pasteur in France. And he states he has made several trips to Washington, D.C. regarding vaccines, and he admits that they used fetal tissue. They used fetal tissue in the vaccines. And they use fetal tissue often used in the vaccines, he said, especially for testing and manufacturing of vaccines. So Dr. Plotkin is stating the industry involved in the vaccine making will use these following tissues in the vaccines from aborted children. They use them in the DNA vaccines. And so they'll take these parts from aborted fetuses, lungs, pituitary gland, skin, kidney, spleen, heart, and tongue. And they're testing new creations in vaccines. So in the testimony in this Michigan court, Dr. Plotkin states their new vaccine inventions were tested for the purpose of scientific studies on people who they considered society's rejects. And he admitted they tested on orphans. They tested on the mentally handicapped, and they tested on mothers and their babies in prison. Now, Dr. Plotkin states that this type of procedure was common in the 1960s, but he has changed his mind on who they should test vaccines on now. Well, I say, Frank, let's go ahead and roll the clip on Dr. Stanley Plotkin. Now, this is from January 11, 2018. It's about the aborted fetal cells in vaccines. It's about 9.5 minutes long. He's under oath, given testimony in a Michigan court. So let's see what he has to say.
So this study involved 74 fetuses, correct?
Oh, I don't remember exactly how many.
Turn to page 12 of the study.
Yeah, 76.
76. Mm-hmm. And these fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And these were all normally developed fetuses, correct?
Yes.
Okay. These included fetuses that were aborted for social and psychiatric reasons, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Well, I didn't personally harvest any, but a whole range of tissues were harvested by co-workers.
Okay. And these pieces were then cut up into little pieces, right?
Yes.
And they were cultured?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland. That were chopped up into pieces to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay. Included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
I just want to make sure I understand. In your entire career, and this was just one study, so I'm going to ask you again. In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
Well, I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally, before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
Do you have any sense? I mean, this one study had 76. How many other studies did you have that you used aborted fetuses for?
Oh, I don't remember how many.
You're aware? Are you aware that one of the objections to vaccination by the plaintiff in this case is the inclusion of aborted fetal tissue in the development of vaccines and the fact that it's actually part of the ingredients of vaccines?
Yeah, I'm aware of those objections. The Catholic Church has actually issued a document on that which says that individuals who need the vaccine should receive the vaccines regardless of the fact, and I think it implies that I am the individual who will go to hell because of the use of aborted tissues, which I am glad to do.
Okay. Do you know if the mother is Catholic?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But she should consult her priest.
If she's a Christian, I guess, right? In any event. We got 76 in this study. Would you approximate it's been a few hundred fetuses?
Oh, no, I don't think it was that many.
Okay.
It was probably not many more than in this paper.
Uh-huh.
And I should stipulate that we had nothing to do with the cause of the abortion.
Mm-hmm. Some of these were for psychiatric institutions, correct?
All I can say is that the fetuses that I personally worked with actually came from Sweden, from a Swedish co-worker. And so I, in no case, was able to determine what exactly the reason for the abortion was.
I'm just asking you, some of the fetuses that you did use did come from abortions from people who were in psychiatric institutions, correct?
I don't know that. What I'm telling you is that I got them from a coworker, and if it's stated in the paper, it's true, but otherwise, I do not know.
Okay, so if it's in the paper, you don't contest it, right?
I don't contest it,
no. Okay. Have you ever used orphans to study an experimental vaccine?
Yes.
Have you ever used the mentally handicapped to study an experimental vaccine?
I don't recollect ever doing studies in mentally handicapped individuals. At the time, in the 1960s, it was not an uncommon practice.
So, you're saying, I'm not clear on your answer, I'm sorry. Have you ever used the mentally handicapped to study an experimental vaccine?
What I'm saying is I don't recall specifically having done that, but that in the 1960s it was not unusual to do that, and I wouldn't deny that I may have done so.
Okay. There's an article entitled Attenuation of RA273 Rubella Virus in WI38 Human Diploid Cells. Are you familiar with that article?
Yes.
In that article, one of the things it says is 13 seronegative, mentally retarded children were given RA273 vaccine.
Okay, well, then that's, in that case, that's what I did.
Okay. Have you ever expressed that it's better to perform experiments on those less likely to be able to contribute to society, such as children with handicap, than with children without or adults without handicaps?
I don't remember specifically, but it's possible. And again, I repeat that in the 1960s, that was more or less common practice. I've since changed my mind, but that was a long time ago.
Do you remember ever writing to the editor of Ethics on Human Experimentation?
I don't remember specifically, but I may well have.
Okay. I'll mark this. I'm going to hand you what's marked as Exhibit 43. Do you recognize this letter you wrote to the editor?
Yes.
Okay. Did you write this letter?
Yes.
Okay. Is one of the things you wrote, the question is whether we are to have experiments performed on fully functioning adults and on children who are potentially contributors to society, or to perform initial studies in children and adults who are human in form, but not in social potential.
Yes.
Okay. It may be objected that this question implies a Nazi philosophy, but I do not think that it is difficult to distinguish non-functioning persons from members of ethnic, racial, economic, or other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you ever used babies of mothers in prison to study an experimental vaccine?
Yes.
Have you ever used individuals under colonial rule to study an experimental vaccine?
Yes.
Okay. Did you do so in the Belgian Congo?
Yes.
Did that experiment involve almost 1 million people?
Well, all right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever visit what was the Belgian Congo and Urundi?
Yes.
How many times?
Once.
Well, there you have a little bit of snippet of the testimony, court testimony, subpoena testimony from Dr. Plunkin, who you're going to hear in a few minutes why he was important in that court case. There's lots of questions, you know, lots of questions. What is the purpose for using human DNA cell lines in vaccines? Well, scientists have voiced their concern that such procedures could promote cancer in vaccine recipients. Also, there's this book called The Vaccine Race. It was published in 2017 by Viking, and it suggested that the vaccine industry started looking to human tissue ingredients while they were researching cellular aging in the 1950s and 60s. A Dr. Leonard Hayflick seems to be the mastermind behind opening this door to this new field of study, and in the process invented many new vaccines such as your rubella, rotavirus, and rabies. Therefore, the vaccine serums of the 50s and 60s are completely different from the vaccine serums used today. So the use of infant cells to make vaccines is evolving. And you're going to find infant cells used in your rubella or your MMR vaccine, your polio, your chickenpox, and your shingles vaccine, your hepatitis A, and also in the new version of the rabies vaccine. So we have experimented with a new form of measles, and we've experienced this from the vaccinated children who got the disease. And scientists and physicians in the United States and Canada were saying, hey, this isn't a normal strain of measles. It's not something you would have acquired naturally. Well, of course not. A vaccine is an artificial infection, right? And when they're making new diseases, the disease is not written of in this book. Was that Deuteronomy 28? Yeah. This is what you get. Plagues that nobody knows what to do with it. Doctors aren't trained to deal with it. So let's look at one reason. The cells used to grow or incubate disease for vaccines are kind of expensive. And they're expensive to incubate. They require a lot of fresh organs. They usually used animals, like animal kidneys. So the drug industry wanted to find a less expensive and more efficient way to grow pathogens without having an animal kennel on their premises. So we're going to look at this a little further, quite revealing, actually. But we're going to take a little system break here. And Frank, don't yell at me at the break for having my button pushed in, please. And we'll have more on the other side. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010. Or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Heavy metal tonight. Well, we're going to be talking about the rest of this issue on, you know, human cell lines and vaccines. And, you know, the drug industries that make these vaccines, you know, they got kind of tired of the expensive way of housing animals to harvest fresh organs to incubate the cell lines. So they were looking for something else. So they started buying cells from other labs in 1958. And they had some trouble with some cell lines that caused cancer. So in order to avoid the cancer issue, their choices got a little limited there. So they had to find tissues that didn't have viruses in them. Therefore, they started experimenting with cells from human placentas. And they used these human cells to grow two cell lines to see if they could continuously replicate these cells in a lab and have endless cells available. So this is where using human cells in vaccine research started. However, they were still splicing in some of the humans, animal cells with the human cells, and this also kicked up the cancer risk. So then they thought to themselves, hey, since the unborn baby was protected while in the womb from outside pathogens, that fetus tissue would be the cleanest source of cells. So keep in mind that in the late 50s, when this was going on, the research on this was considered highly illegal. So the medical industry got around the legal problem by calling the experiments therapeutic abortions, and that the tissue would be discarded as human waste, and the tissue was then legal to use, but in limited situations. So kind of shocking that the medical literature refers to this type of research using aborted fetuses as, quote, elegant experiments. Wonder what the Father God thinks about that. Well, here's a quote from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in April 2017. They say, Dr. Hilary Koprowski worked on a version of the polio vaccine grown in human fetal cells to determine the safety of the vaccine before they gave it to the babies. And Dr. Stanley Plotkin, who we just heard his testimony, he was actually a co-inventor of this vaccine using human cells from fetuses for rubella, rotavirus, and rabies vaccine. So the use of human fetal cells in injected vaccines has been a part of the vaccine industry for decades. The public was not aware of this until recently. And the drug industry considers using fetal cells as the cell line in vaccines as the, quote, gold standard. They considered it's a primo ingredient. Gotta have it. They have over 20 cell lines of fetal cells now that they grow in labs. The DNA and RNA are contained in these cells, and it offers great versatility in how a vaccine's going to react. Here's a quote again from Children's Hospitals of Philadelphia. They say, a single set of lungs from an aborted fetus after 3 or 4 months of gestation are large enough to dissect and create many amples of cells, about 10 million cells. And in the lab, they can be manipulated to produce as many as 10 sextillion cells. That's a lot of cells. 10 sextillion? Okay. So how many cells does it take to make a vaccine then? Apparently 10 million cells, which make enough vaccine for about 40 countries. So the cells from one aborted fetus get shared with labs all around the world, and they are usually the World Health Organization labs in 4 continents. The WHO labs get them. So we're told they use the cells to detect also disease in hospital patients. Huh? You have to wonder now what's in the hospital tests. Seriously? Well, the vaccines of our future, we're now aware that today and in the future, we're going to have human cell lines in these vaccines. They're there. Which, well, and with such an ingredient as this, any vaccine can cause any nationality significant harm if the vaccine is designed to do so. So you tweak the cell line DNA, and any vaccine can become a euthanasia device. So we have to wonder why China struggled with the coronavirus and why 82% of their victims were male between the ages of 30 to 50. Don't you think that's odd? I think it's odd. And I did hear one report, but I haven't really confirmed it as fact. But they said the coronavirus, the CO19 coronavirus, the one that started in China, binds to rice. If you're eating rice, and there's a staple of rice in the Asian continent, and it binds to rice, and it seems to magnify the disease. So if that's true, this is why China had such an issue. So, I don't know about you, but just in case, I'm not eating rice. Just for now. Now, vaccines are artificial infections. They're made from materials that are not meant to enter the bloodstream. So, I prefer to go with what's natural in supporting my immune system. And I stand on God's promises that herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And God can't lie. So you have herbs that will boost your resistance to pathogens, and we should all be using them. So if you are wanting to get started, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Ask about their organic whole food herb immune formulas. And they even have a pandemic kit, which has been a real popular item for the last couple of weeks, I hear. So give them a call. They have a toll-free number in the United States and Canada. It's 866-229-3663. Toll-free 866-229-3663. You can visit them on their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, free product catalog, ask for that. You can request one online as well. They're in the middle of their spring sale. Great time to save 20% on your order of $50 or more. Of course, they do have restrictions on some items. So get your free catalog. If you want to order some stuff, use their coupon code to get the 20% off, and it's coupon code SPRING and the number 20. So use that online, over the phone, on your order form, and just make sure that you get, if you're mailing it in, get it postmarked by the 25th of March, because that's when the sale ends. So hurry, hurry, hurry. And of course, Frank over there is the garlic man, which is very broad spectrum for viruses. Love that. Love that. Frank is a doer. He is proactive indeed. All right. We're going to be talking about some vision problems in your brain. You know, your eyes are really neurological matter. They're part of your brain. We don't think of them as that, do we? I don't think anybody growing up thinks that your eyeballs are part of your brain, but they are. They're connected to your brain. They're neurological tissue. And neurological disorders in various forms, even, you know, dementia, have plagued the United States as well as other nations. So there's some research now. They're looking into this connection of brain health influencing vision problems. Mankind has actually worked to cut out for himself, you know, in the medical system, cause and effect. And now they're looking at some things, you know, kind of outside the box a little bit. So they want to address, apparently, the cause of an illness. You have to really dig for that. And so even with heart disease and cancer and even neurological disorders, you got to look at what the cause is if you want to cure it. So we're going to take a look at some of this new research that says, hey, there's a link between neurological and visual problems, and see how they can resolve that problem. So sick people on lifelong drugs are still sick people, and many of them are barely functioning. If you're propped up by a metabolic drug, doesn't mean you're healthy. Just means that, you know, you're propped up by a metabolic drug, which if you quit taking it, you'd probably die. So the healthcare fantasy has a safe zone called trauma care. We need that. But I think all the drugs for life area, where they're just treating symptoms and not getting at the cause, is a problem. I don't look at that as a cure. I look at that as the illusion of health. So real health and healing have kind of eluded the medical profession, evidenced by numbers of sick people. Globally, we have 1 billion with neurological disorders, from Alzheimer's to epilepsy to migraine headaches to multiple sclerosis and so on. A lot of neuro infections as well. 1 in 6 people aren't living full lives because of some sort of disorder. So the American Academy of Neurological Society posted information that they were looking for, they were demanding neurological care, but they say it has ballooned out of control. And there's not enough neurologists actually entering healthcare now for the future in that specialty. So they reported that the United States is going to experience a decrease in available neurologists by about 20% starting in the year 2020. So, I used to work for neurologists, and I used to work for neurosurgeons, and it is the most grueling training in medical school and in their residency. So a few medical students want to enroll in that specialty. So In just 8 years, from 2000 to 2008, the demand and expense for neurological care grew by 48%. Stroke is the leading cause of death in the United States, and Alzheimer's is the sixth cause of death, and millions of people are suffering only to be, you know, treated with a lot of medications to reduce or slow down the symptoms, why they die slowly. Well, patients are told, you know, you got to accept this. You got to live within your limits now. It's expected. You're getting to that age. I hate that. I don't think so. It's common, but it's not normal. So what's going on? Most of the medications that they give Alzheimer's patients are useless, and they actually expose the patient to a bunch of other side effects. So every person really should take a look at and see what it is that could be causing their problems. Do a lot of research, and what type of prevention could they actually practice for themselves? Here's a few suggestions. Avoid inoculations, which promote neurological disorders. Avoid exposure to EMF emissions or dirty electricity from cell phones, smart meters, etc., as much as you can. Avoid cookware and drinking containers made with heavy metals like aluminum. Avoid contaminated seafood that has mercury in it. And utilize nutrition in your foods like spices and herbs to help strengthen the body to resist disease. And the problem that we face in a lot of our foods that are conventionally grown is that the pesticides block the plant's absorption to absorb mineral nutrients from the soil, so the plants are 50% less nutrition in them when you eat them. Now, the researchers at Rutgers have this new research they published, and it suggests there's an association between Alzheimer's disease and vision loss. So their findings seem to reflect nearsightedness or, you know, distance vision problems. So the farsightedness seemed to be less affected when in conjunction with dementia or other cognitive diseases. So the scientists are suggesting that vision screening could be a potential early detector for the risk of dementia. Here's a quote. Alzheimer's disease has multiplied cognitive subtypes. These are usually broken down into memory, language, executive, attention, visuospatial functions. So the variant where visual symptoms are prominent due to the localized pathology in the parasympathetic region is often referred to as visual variant Alzheimer's disease. Well, what the research really is stating is that there needs to be more attention made to the possibility of the interconnection between the eyes and the brain, and that neurodegenerative diseases could be an extension of the central nervous system and various diseases there. So the eyes are formed while in the womb from the brain's anterior neural tube and later develops into a forebrain region. So let's talk about some nutrients for the old noodle, shall we? And for your eyes. Since the brain and your eyes are connected, there are nutrients that can assist them both. Foods, spices, herbs that contain zinc and antioxidants have positive effects. Research from Science is suggesting that a lack of zinc has some role to play in the development of Alzheimer's. Now, we just heard the other day, Frank, remember we were talking about this doctor back in 1938 who discovered what creates a cataract? It's a lack of zinc. It was a potassium of iodide and also calcium. So minerals, we're lacking the minerals. So Melanie Cederstrom of the Financial Survival newsletter and what's the name of her radio show again? I just drew in a blank, Frank. Gold and Silver. She's a discount Gold and Silver. What's the name of her radio show? I can't think of it all of a sudden. But anyway, she was asking me that question. Why do I think about all these diseases? Oh, yeah, Financial Survival. That's the name of Melanie's show. Great show. Should listen to it. She was asking me what I thought was the reason most people are so ill, and I said lack of minerals. If you take all the water away, we're just a pile of minerals. So we have to replenish those. So they're finding now, if you don't have that zinc, it plays a role in the development of Alzheimer's. And research is also showing that when you supplement with an organic zinc and antioxidants and organic copper, it slows the progression of macular degeneration of the eyes. Okay? So health experts are saying that antioxidants assist your eyes and your brain. So what other foods will help us? Well, I have talked about rosemary before, and I know the folks at Apothecary Herbs put it in their brain concentrate formula. It's an excellent circulatory anti-inflammatory herb. It's full of antioxidants, and it works very well with other herbs like ginkgo to improve cognitive function. So I would avoid using rosemary oil due to too strong a compound. And if you get too much of a concentrated oil, you're not going to like it. It's not going to be good for you. Sometimes they use it topically, and that's fine, but not internally. So pregnant women should avoid rosemary oil, as it can promote uterine spasm. So just avoid rosemary, period, is what I say. Now, you also want to use caution. Use small amounts of rosemary if you're taking any of these drugs, because it interferes with them. Your diuretics, ACE inhibitors, anticoagulants, and any lithium drug for manic depression. So watch that. Herbs with zinc in them. Let's look at some of these wonderful zinc herbs. Oh, going to help your brain and your vision. Skullcap, pumpkin seed, your hot peppers that have capsaicin in them, sage leaf, wild jam root, spirulina, chickweed, echinacea root, great for a boost in immune system, astragalus root, also an immune support herb, nettle leaf, Siberian ginseng, and adult's seaweed. So antioxidant foods, most adults don't eat enough of a healthy diet and get enough of those antioxidant foods. So one serving a day is not going to cut it. It's insufficient. Most of us need more than that. Most people, though, are getting 1 to 2 per week. So that's even worse. So you want to try to boost those antioxidants. Get some of those superfoods that have them in them. All your berries, your blueberries, strawberries, goji berries, any of your berries, okay? Broccoli. Broccoli is a super antioxidant food, as well as cranberries and pomegranates, spinach, and quinoa. I love quinoa. Frank, do you eat quinoa? I love it. It's like a hot cereal. Oh, I know people use it as a side dish, but I like it as a hot cereal. I'll make it. I'll boil some water, and then I'll take the water off the heat and throw the quinoa in there, stir in some raisins, maybe some cranberries or nuts, whatever I have, and let it simmer a little bit on the heat. I put it back on the heat and I let it simmer. Keep stirring it, and it's just lovely. I add a little of a friend of mine sends honey from his bee hives, and they great honey. His bees pollinate trees, and if you ever have the opportunity to taste different types of honey. The honey from bees that pollinate tree flowers tastes so different and looks different than the honey from, let's say, other wildflowers. Okay. So the honey from the trees, the flowers from the trees, it's a darker honey, and it just, I think it has a better taste. It's a richer, deeper taste. So, and his bees like the trees, and they pollinate all those lovely trees, and especially in spring. We're going to see a lot of pollen out there soon. So the bees will be out there. So we want to think about nutrition, because what we put in the body matters. So we got to start thinking about our ailments and maybe how our nutrition is the problem causing the ailments. We're not getting the right nutrition. We have more than 50% chance of resolving our problems compared to the conventional way of using toxic drugs to force a chemical change in your metabolism. So we have a 50% chance we'll be able to reverse our problem with a dietary change. Using organic nutrients requires a bit of faith and patience to restore what you've lost, okay? So when you see, when you use these whole foods, whole food supplements is the way to go. It's nothing taken away. It's not isolated chemical supplement ingredients. That's not what it is. Whole food is God's chemistry, and it's perfect, and you can't remake it. You don't need megadoses when you get the chemistry balance, because vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and proteins are in a perfect balance. And laboratories just kind of guess at what you need, and when they kind of take, a little sorbic acid here and a little zinc there, and they kind of just kind of mix it up and say, okay, this is a supplement you need. And we also need to start thinking about basic elements in our foods and our herbs. Scientists and health authorities and even government agencies would have you think that any substance that causes a metabolic change in the body is a drug, and it has to be monitored and regulated. But under that broad definition, the following items would be considered drugs because they cause a metabolic change. That would be water, oxygen, fruits and vegetables, meat, grains, seeds and nuts, herbs and spices, and even sunlight. Sunlight. So controlling what is defined as a drug means losing all your freedoms over every element which sustains your life. When a few control the legal availability of such elements, they control life. So it has been stated that your healthcare insurance, the Obamacare, also your food harmonization codes called the Codex, these are all attempts to control life, control what you do, how you live. So the FDA is telling the public that it's all about your security and safety. So if the FDA was about safety, there would not be prescription medications that cause a great risk and promote death allowed to remain on the market. See? Mm-hmm. So looking for your changes, well, I get this question a million times a day. I should have it tattooed on my forehead, but what should I eat? I hear that a lot. Well, keep it basic and make sure you make it your own ingredients instead of prepackaged stuff. And try not to eat out so much. I infuriated Frank. I'm naughty. I infuriated a waiter. We went to this kind of upscale restaurant. It was a relative's birthday. And the waiter comes around and the menu was kind of limited. It wasn't, you know, like Shomar's or anything. But I was asking him, so where do you get your fish? And where do you get your meat? You know, and he was just like, he didn't know what I was asking. I said, well, is it organic? Is it grass-fed? Is it here in the United States? Are you getting it from China? He didn't know any of that. And he got really irritated with me. And I said, you know, there's a restaurant that's your competitor a few miles down the road that on their menu lists where every ingredient's coming from. They have also soy-free menus, gluten-free menus, dairy-free menus for their people coming in because they know people have preferences and they're looking after their health more. So we need to, you know, be diligent in what we're eating and what we're putting in. So if you're looking for some wonderful herbs that help you with cognitive function and vision function, the folks at Apothecary Herbs can help you out. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Professional strength, that's what it is over there. Professional strength, it's what the practitioners use, but you can get it directly. They're having a sale, 50% off, and take advantage. If your order's over $50, use promo code SPRING20. Hurry, it ends on the 25th of March. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.